For the next 20 to 25 minutes, I want us to look at our study. I want to try to bring us back into this 1 John study that we've had a few weeks off. I appreciate all the prayers for our missionaries. I appreciate your love for them. Listen, I heard nothing but wonderful things from our missionaries about how you treated them, church family, how you treated them, how you loved on them. And I heard from both of them that while they were here, they felt like they were at home, felt like they were at their home church. Can I tell you something? That's what I want. I believe that honors God because they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? They are family. That's exactly what Christianity is. It's a family. All right? So I appreciate that. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to jump down to verse 12. That's where we're at in our study. Now, to bring us back up to speed where we're at, there are five reasons for the letter. First reason is found in chapter 1 and verse 3, and that is fellowship. It's so that we may have fellowship. The second reason in chapter 1 and verse 4 is so that we may have full joy. Not that we can have joy, but that we can have full joy. And that's significantly important. And then in chapter 2 and verse 1, and where we're at in our study of chapter 2, it is that we sin not. Sin is still possible in your life. As a Christian, you can still sin. And we're going to look at a few things regarding that as we jump down to chapter 2, verse 12. We've already looked at our advocate. We've looked at our propitiation for our sins. We've looked at the old and the new commandment that was written for us. And then we've understood about the love that we should have for our brethren. Now, I want us to see as we transition to verse 12, let's look at it. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Lord, I'm grateful for your scripture, and I pray that your word would have free course this evening to affect our hearts and our lives. I pray that you would help us as we study, that we would not come here to study so that we can gain some knowledge to win some argument, or so that we could gain some knowledge to be lifted up in our own boastings and pride. But Lord, I pray that as we study together, that we study for the purpose of conformity to the image of your Son. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would work that out through your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me not to preach or to speak my own opinions, but to be faithful to preach and to teach your word. We love you, Lord, and we pray that you will once again be high and lifted up in our presence tonight. Lord, we pray that you would help us to focus on you through your scripture. In Christ's name, we pray all these things. Amen and amen. I want us to notice we're focusing our attention on the admonition to three distinct groups of people with regard to these prior instructions. Now, remember the prior instruction, the old commandment and the new commandment. And the old commandment being that we are to love the God perfectly. We are to love Him wholly, not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-Y. I spelled that right, didn't I? Amen. Wholly, entirely. And it's important that we recognize that. That's the first commandment. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, our entire being, we're supposed to love God. That's the first commandment. The second one, which is a new commandment, is that we love our brother. Again, verse 8, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. This is a new commandment, because before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you didn't have any saved brethren. Everyone was destined to hell, right? Before the blood of Jesus. That's the death of the testator. That's when the New Testament begins, according to the book of Hebrews. And before that occurred, we didn't have anything in common other than we're all sinners. We weren't brethren. Amen? Now, the commandment to love our neighbor is specific to the Jews, although the principle is applicable to us today as well. And at a later time, we could look at that Jewish principle or that Jewish commandment that is principally applied to us. But I want us to recognize that based on this admonition in the prior verses, we now see a focus on three groups of people. And when we look at what are the brethren, they can be broken down, these brethren can be broken down into the stages of spiritual life, if you will. The stages of spiritual life. John, it's not recorded for us anywhere in Scripture that he had any children of his own. It's very obvious that he's referencing other Christians when he writes about the children. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Is he writing this letter only to his own children? No. He's writing this letter to the offspring of the apostles, those that would be saved and lead others to Christ and so on. That's who he's writing to. And in Scripture, there are several. There is a biblical layout that's identified for the stages of spiritual growth. And I want us to get these very quickly. I'll give you some passages. Some of them we'll turn to. I do think I have these on a slide for you so you can catch all these. But first of all, we recognize that they are babes. Babies. Newborns. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, if you want to put that out next to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, very briefly, let's just look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. We know that the salvation that we recognize in Scripture is called the new birth, right? Ye must be born again. Well, what happens at birth? Are you just born and all of a sudden you're a mature Christian? No. Just like when you have a baby, they're not just born and they walk out with a 401k, a life plan, some goals, and a future spouse prepared for them. At least some people don't have a future spouse prepared for them. Amen? Some do, all right? The older my children get, the more on board with arranged marriages I am. Because right now, there wouldn't be nobody that would equal up to what I would have in mind for my children. Amen? And every one of your parents know exactly what I'm talking about. And the problem is, I got four daughters. Whew. I'm hurting. I'm just hoping Ben gets married. Amen? Him, I'm not worried. I'm worried about he just gets married. Oh, there's so many things that could go. Oh, my goodness. Listen, I don't know how non-Christians live this life. There's so many different stresses and anxieties in this world. And if you don't know Christ, I don't know how you're making it. Amen? I don't know how you're going to make it if you don't know Christ. Because there's so many things that could go wrong. So many things that could go backwards. So many things that could fall apart. But when you know Jesus, even if it does fall apart, you know where you're standing. Amen. Amen. Oh, man. All right. Four daughters. Whew. I just depressed myself. All right, here we go. They are babes in Christ. When a new believer is born, they are spiritually newborns. Right? Next, we're going to move through these because there's like six of them. Little children. Little children. Where do we see that? In our text. 1 John chapter 2. I write unto you, little children. So you have babies, and then you have little children. Next, you have children. And that's something. Amen? You go from a baby to a little child to a child. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. If you're taking notes, I'd write Ephesians chapter 4. We're just talking about the life stages of a man in development and how they're applied in the New Testament to our Christian walk. And in writing, there are, and in understanding Scripture, there are several stages. And honestly, these stages are a good measuring tool based on what's being said. So if someone is a babe in Christ, right, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, what makes them a babe in Christ? They can't handle the meat of the word. They have to be given milk. I would dare say, and this is not a to try to come across as prideful or looking down, but I would dare say that over 80% of Christianity is probably in that boat. Why? Because it's identified as a person that is saved and yet carnal, and they can't handle the depth of Scripture. They can only take that milk. You start talking about a Christophany in some of your church, in some churches today, you got people that would pass out. Amen. You have a guest preacher come in and talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, talk about the pure body before the blood entered in. I told you, I caught some of it. Amen. I caught some of it. I was driving. I couldn't. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't watching Facebook while I was driving. That's what Netflix is for. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. That would make some people just, they can't understand that. And why? Because they're carnal. Not carnal as in like, oh, you're a terrible person. They just can't handle the meat of the word yet. And what do you do with a baby? Do you get mad at them for being a baby? No, what do? You nurture them. You disciple them. You feed them. You change them. When they're learning to walk, what do they do? What do you do when they fall? You help them get back up. That's what you do with them. You don't get mad because they're a baby. Amen? Same thing. Little children here in the passage. And then children. This is the next level. Now we're in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 14. That ye henceforth be no more children. And what's associated with being children? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know what a child is? Child's very trusting. You tell them something as an adult, they're going to believe you, for the most part. Amen? They're going to believe you. Children are trusting. What does the Bible say? We got to get out of that stage of life. We're not supposed to be tossed to and fro. Somebody nice on TikTok or YouTube posts a video with the perfect music and tells you something. Sounds really good, and yet there's no biblical basis for it, or they twist Scripture, and you don't have the discernment to go, that's a little off. What does that tell you? You're a child, spiritually. Do we get mad at children for being children? Yes or no? No. What do with children? We teach them. We teach them. We try to help them. And so we have babes, we have little children, we have children, all right? Now, here we also see two others. We see young men, and then we see fathers. Young men and fathers. Those are both in 1 John chapter 2. Young men and fathers. We'll deal with these very briefly in just a moment as we get into little children, young men, and fathers. We'll make some statements, then we'll move on to the core and the meat of it tonight. Then we have elders. For that, I'd give you 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. And 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1. Those, both of those. Let's look at the 1 Timothy one, Brother Royce, if you don't mind. Well, you read that 1 Peter 5 one there. An elder. What is an elder scripturally? Spiritual leader. That's what an elder is. Spiritual leader. In reference to the office of a pastor, an elder is what a pastor should be. A spiritual leader. What is the difference between a pastor and an elder in the church? Is every time you see the word elder mentioning a pastor? Can't be, because you have elder women. Right? Amen. So an elder is a spiritual person. Did you know ladies can be spiritual leaders in the church? You can be an elder lady. Now don't go around and start calling these women elder so-and-so. You liable to get smacked, guys. All right? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Look, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women, as mothers. The younger as sisters, with all purity. I believe it's in the letter to Titus where he even goes forth even further to deal with how we are to teach the aged men. Oh, that's the next one we're getting to. I'm getting ahead of myself. So we've got elders, and then we have the aged. Now, if you really want to hurt somebody's feelings, call them aged. Amen. So you got babes, little children, children, young men, fathers, elders. That's 1 Timothy 5, 1 Peter 5, and then the aged, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and then also Philemon, verse 9. Both of these areas we see aged. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be. And then there's some qualifications of an aged man. Sober. We've studied that word before. I'll not run all the references, but sober is tied to being serious. It's tied to having control of your faculties and being serious about a thing. Grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, Titus 3:3. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And so, as we see this level of growth, these age, stages of growth that are found all throughout the New Testament, we can identify where we're at in our spiritual walk by looking to these passages of Scripture and seeing where we fall in. All right? And that's what's going to help us. Now, with these, it can help us to identify that. John's only addressing three of these groups, and he addresses these three groups twice. Now, I want us to see this. We see first the little children. I want us to understand some things about children scripturally, and we're going to move on because I want to get to 15 and 16. All right, I believe we've covered this well enough, but I want to give you some things if you want to write these down. Children are simple. Simple is not a bad word. It's not a bad thing to be. Someone that is simple. The Bible tells us, Paul said, I would that you would be simple toward evil and wise toward good. That's what Paul said. Simple. Simple is just simply lacking wisdom and understanding about a matter. I am simple when it comes to mechanics. I don't know how a car runs. I know enough to where if I tried to work on my car myself, it's going to cost me 20 grand to fix what I messed up, not even counting what was actually wrong to begin with. Amen. Brother Matt, does he still have that filter from the minivan back in the day? Had my minivan. It's been so far removed now, I'm not embarrassed by it anymore. Besides, it was Beth's minivan. It wasn't my fault anyway. Hadn't had that oil changed in I don't know how long. He took the oil filter off that thing. He uses it. Brother Matt uses it as an illustration of why you need to change your oil filter. Why? I'm simple when it comes to vehicles, right? It doesn't mean I'm stupid, it means I'm simple. I don't have the wisdom and the knowledge that comes along with that. Children are simple. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15, the simple believeth every word. Remember what the Bible say, that we be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Ephesians 4:14, we've already read. So here's some things that little children know. Here's what little children know. This is the extent of their knowledge here in our text. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Little children know that God loves them and He forgave them of their sins. I'm talking about spiritual little children. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. That's the extent of their knowledge, right? And in verse 13, the end of the verse, little children, because ye have known the Father. Capital F, that's Father God. That's who that is. So little children are simple. They're not dumb. They're simple. They're not wise in knowledge and understanding about spiritual things. And so spiritually, little children, they know their sins are forgiven and they know the Father, right? And that's the extent of it. But that is no place to live life. We're commanded to be disciples of Christ. We're commanded to grow. The Apostle Paul says that he had no greater desire than I may know Him. That was what his desire was. He wanted to know more than just my sins are forgiven. All right? What does a simple child do? If you are under that place as a believer, as a Christian, what should you do? The Bible's very clear. Gain wisdom. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 9:4. Whoso is simple Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. Oh, and I didn't type out the rest of the verse. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 4. Throw up verse. You got verse 5 up there, Brother Royce? Can you hook me up with that? She saith unto him, verse 5. Yep, you got it. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. So what do you do as a little child? You should try to gain wisdom. You should not be satisfied with simplicity. You know your sins are forgiven. You know the Father. But you need to be more. All right, that leads us to the second person group that's listed, young men. Young men are strong. Notice what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 about these young men. They've overcome the wicked one, right? They've overcome the wicked one. The Word of God abides in them, and they're strong. Proverbs 20:29 says, the glory of young men is their strength. The glory of young men is their strength. You ever wonder why guys, as they get up, you know, these cute, you know, mamas, you got these cute little boys when they're little, and they horse around, they wrestle, and all of a sudden they start getting bigger, and they start trying to figure out how to look bigger and stronger, and they want to beat everybody, and they want to run into people, and they want to fight and get all that. Because the glory of young men is their strength. Right? They want to be strong. Well, the Bible talks about this. The Bible deals with that. Proverbs 20 and 29. So, what should a strong young man do? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary the devil. Because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what young men should do. You're strong. Ephesians chapter 6 deals with the battle that we're in. I don't understand why in Christianity today we don't recognize the war that we are in the middle of. I'm not talking about a physical war. I'm not talking about these terrorists attack overseas. I'm talking about the spiritual warfare for your heart to distract you from doing what God has placed you here to do. I don't understand why we don't train up our young people to be better Christian soldiers. And so we have young men. And then we have fathers. Fathers have wisdom. Notice what it says. Both times it deals with the father, it says that you've known him that is from the beginning. See, the faithful father is steadfast in his relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, is required in a steward that a man be found what? Faithful. What's a father to do? James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge amongst you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You want to know how you've passed from a young man spiritually to a father? When you have meekness and wisdom. See, a dad doesn't have to prove anything to his children. Got nothing to prove. Got nothing to prove. Spiritually, I got nothing to prove to my children. All I got to do is provide for them, let them know I love them. I don't have to prove to them that I can hurt anybody or do anything big or bad. Any of that. All I have to do is be there. That's what they need. And they come and ask questions. You know? And you get frustrated as a father sometimes because sometimes the questions seem silly, right? God, don't bother me with that. That's a dumb question. Right? Now, y'all are probably better dads than me. That's okay. Amen. That's what I do. How do you know when you have become a spiritual father? When you can have meekness and wisdom. You know that you know you're right, but you don't have to flaunt it. It's not a battle for you with the little children, the ones that are growing up. You just love them, and you want them to grow in wisdom. All right? Now, very quickly, I tell you what. Let's save this last part for next Wednesday night. Let's do that. I want us to end here. I want us to see this, but we're going to read the verses before we dismiss. Verse 15, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not where? In Him. Do you love God more than you love the world? That's what we're going to look at next Wednesday night. Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer.